This year is quickly passing by. Grains of sand in the hourglass of time, just rapidly pouring through. Will God turn over the hourglass of time and give us more time? Swiftly, we're turning life's daily pages. Are we going to reap joy? Are we going to reap glory? Are we going to reap tears? What will it be? How are we using God's golden moments that He's given us? That is, how are we using the time that God has given us? God in His grace perhaps will turn over another hourglass full of another year's worth of sand. But there's no guarantee of that to any of us. We're going to read from Psalm 90 again this morning. Appreciate Brother David for the excellent reading that he did of this psalm. But I want to, for the sake of drawing attention to the psalm in your mind, I want to read it again. I know it's lengthy, but the psalm covers many different subjects, but it is the primary subject, of course, is that of time. It is given and has been said to be authored by Moses, the man of God, Deuteronomy 33 and in verse 1. Moses, the man of God, he's referred to that by that particular title more than one occasion in the Old Testament scriptures. But when you begin this psalm, you notice it's attributed to him as being the author. Of course, when Brother David began reading, he didn't read that part because it's been added by man. But of course, when the Bible was put together ages ago, then it was believed to have been written by Moses, and it seems to be a prayer of Moses. And it would be good for us to consider his prayer. At what time in his life he worded this prayer, we simply do not know. The word in the prayer affliction is used, as God has brought his wrath and affliction and anger down upon the people of Moses' day, seems to indicate that it may have been written sometime during the wandering years in the wilderness under the oversight of Moses. But again, we simply do not know the time in which it was written. But Psalm 90 and verse 1 begins this way, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. One thing we note as well in this psalm is the transitory nature or temporal nature of man compared with the eternal nature of God. Verse 3, you turn man to destruction and say, return, O children of men. If you're reading from some other translation, you turn men or man to destruction. The word destruction there could be translated dust. You return man back to the dust from which you made him. And say, return, O children of men. So God returns man to the dust from which he was made. That might be the thought in the word destruction there, since it could have been translated dust, and some translations render it as such. For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past. Time means nothing to God. And like a watch in the night. A watch in the night, that is the time when a soldier would spend on guard post 3 hours or 4 hours. It's nothing to God. 1,000 years is like a watch in the night to him. You carry them away like a flood. This goes back to verse 3, the them under consideration is man. You carry man away like a flood. You wash him away like a flood. He swept away like a flood. They are like a sleep. The word sleep here is simply used as a euphemism for death in the Old Testament scriptures. So that death comes to man. Again, the transitory or earthly nature of man compared to the eternal nature of God. in the morning, they, that is man, that is his time on this earth, is like grass which grows up. In the morning it flourishes and it grows up. In the evening it is cut down and withered. For we have been consumed by your anger or your wrath, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. That's right, God's countenance, his glory. God shines his light upon all sin. We cannot hide our sin from God. Verse 9, for all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish or complete our years like a sigh. The days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength, that is strength of body and mind, they are 80 years. That's the general length of time that people live on this earth. Oh yes, some die sooner, some die later, but generally 70 to 80 years, that's all God has given us to live upon this earth. That's a general time for man's life upon this earth. Yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, labor, toil, toil to weariness. The word itself could be used to refer to the difficulties and hardships that life brings and the sorrow and tears that follow. For it, man's life is soon cut off, and we fly away. Fly away doesn't mean that, well, we're a spirit and we fly away. It's talking about how fast life ends. Verse 11. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? And have compassion on your servants. O satisfy us early in your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us, the years in which we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. This psalm deals very much with the subject of time. I've just underlined on the chart for you the words that indicate time is under consideration throughout the psalm itself. Time. And then we come to verse 10 of Psalm 90, which is a very special emphasis upon the subject of time and the brevity of it. Moses prays, the days of our lives are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they're 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. God has determined the time that we're going to have life on this earth. Again, some die sooner, some die later, but generally, this is the time that we have. This is all the time that we have. Four pictures then are used to portray for us how brief our life really is upon this earth. Our life is like a flood. That is, we're swept away. We're carried away quickly. When a river overflows its banks, it sweeps everything away very quickly. That's how life is. It goes by swiftly. It's like a sleep. You go to sleep, you wake up so quickly. Even I've used the phrase to my wife many times, that was an itty bitty night. Small, brief, but our life on earth is like a sleep. It is like grass. It doesn't last very long. It grows up, it flourishes in the morning, and it's gone in the evening. It cuts down, it's withered. Verse 9, for all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish, we complete our years like a sigh, like a moan. We complete our years like a sigh or like a moan. That is, we simply accept the fact that that's the way it's going to be. But sometimes we spend 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years before we resign to the fact that that's the way life is. It is a sigh. It is a moan. So it is fitting that this Psalm of Moses is about the passing of time. Why is that? Because after all, the sand and the hourglass of Moses' life stopped midstream in his life. It is said of Moses in Deuteronomy 34 and in verse 7, Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim. That is, his eyes did not become weak. Still had strong eyes. He could see real good. Nor his natural vigor diminished, though he lived 120 years. It should be with this in mind that we focus on the prayer of Moses, because though Moses' life was cut short at 120 years for that time period, he prays in Psalm 90 and verse 12 to teach us to number our days. You would think a man who lived 120 years would be satisfied. But yet he's praying to God to teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. God, teach us, instruct us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. I want to use that verse this morning for our study. We need to gain a spiritual education, you might say, in regard to the time that we have in this life. How important every opportunity, every moment, every day, every hour is in our life. We need to make a sober calculation in regard to the time that we have. We need to give some serious consideration to it. And we need to make a sensible application of it. So teach us to number our days. Lord, give us a spiritual education in regard to the time that we have in this life. Throughout the Psalms, we find individuals always crying out to God to teach them or instruct them regarding something. In Psalm 25, in verse 4, David says, "Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day." Teach me, instruct me. We need to ask God to do that in many areas of our life. But when we do that, let's not do that like we sing some songs sometime. We sing them with fervor and with diligence, but yet we don't mean them from the heart. If we pray to God to teach us, to instruct us, then let's not be the fool who will not accept the instruction. Let's not play the one who is not wise, who will not take the advice that is given. How many times have we offered advice when someone has come, but they'll not accept it, they'll not take it? Teach us to number our days. David said in Psalm 143 in verse 10, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." Some versions say, "Lead me into the land of righteousness." Teach means to instruct. In Proverbs 9 and in verse 9, "Give instruction to a wise man and he will be still wiser." Is that true? It is. Are you wise this morning? Teach us to number our days. Instruct a wise man and he'll be wiser. Teach a just man or a righteous man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. When you learn to have reverence, respect, and fear for God, Then when you ask God to instruct you or teach you, you'll give heed to that instruction that He provides. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years of life will be added to you. This ideal of teaching Moses used in regard to parents teaching their children something. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 9, only take heed to yourselves and diligently keep yourselves, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. So teach us, Lord. Instruct us to number our days, so that we'll have a heart of wisdom. Our children are always in need of teaching and instruction. And how oftentimes have we given them instruction or taught them in something? And how many times have we come along and recognized and realized that they've not heeded that? They've not heeded the advice. They've not heeded the instruction. They've not heeded the teaching. They need to be corrected. And how many times have we told our children, perhaps as we were bringing them up to be getting ready to go, maybe to worship service on Sunday morning, we come back in a few minutes and they are preoccupied with doing something else. Well, we're like our children were. Sometimes we accept teaching from the Father, and sometimes we do not. Sometimes we get distracted in life and forget about the things that He's taught us and instructed us in His Word. And so when we ask for God to teach us and to instruct us, let's be mindful of that teaching. He has told us what the general time frame of our life is upon this earth, 70 to 80 years. We need to take that to heart. We need to be serious about that time frame. We need to make a sober calculation of our own days upon this earth. How much time do I have left? Well, again, you might die sooner or you might die later. We don't know, but we do know that time goes by quickly. And the time that we do have, we better use wisely. So teach us to number our days. Do you realize that our days on earth will one day simply be noted by a small dash between two dates on a tombstone? That's the time of our life. In the long ago, Job said in Job 14 and verse 1, man who is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. Few days and full of trouble. Trouble, difficulties and hardships of life. But he only has a few days on this earth. It's interesting how the Scripture describes our time upon this earth. Think about days. Sometimes it speaks about years, but days. Sometimes it uses the word hours. But our time is very brief. Earlier in the book of Job, in Job 7 and verse 1, is there not a time of hard service for man on earth? The answer to that question is, all of man's time on earth is filled with hard service. It's filled with labor and difficulty and toil and hardship and disappointment and sorrow. So is there not a time of hard service for man on earth? No. Are not his days also like the days of a hired man? What does a hired man have to look forward to? The next day's labor. He's hired to labor. In Job 7, in verse 6, Job said, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope." We might not understand that weaver's shuttle, how fast it could be worked, but the speed of man's life, the swiftness of man's life is under consideration. Job 9, in verse 25, "Now my days are swifter than a runner. They flee away, they see no good." Swifter than a runner. They go by very quickly. In Genesis 47 and in verse 9, Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage," note this, "are 130 years, but note how he characterizes those. Those 130 years, he said, few and evil have been the days of my years of my life. Few and evil. The psalmist said in Psalm 144 and in verse 4, "Man is like a breath. His days are like a passing shadow." How brief life really is upon this earth. And then James, in James 4 and in verse 13, "Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." We can relate to that vapor. See the vapor appearing before a boiling pot of water on the stove. It appears for a little time and vanishes away. Perhaps a cloud in the sky you see, but in just a little bit, it's not there. Not because the wind has taken it away, because it is vapor. It simply disappears into the air. How brief life really is upon this earth. To count means to weigh out, to allot, to constitute, to enumerate. Number our days. Teach us, Lord, instruct us to number our days. Give serious consideration to the time that we have. The time that we have is brief. It is swiftly passing by. We better make use of the time that the Lord has provided us right now. Because there's not a promise of more time in the future for us. The sands and the hourglass of time are quickly falling through. And for some of us, they seem to speed up every day, doesn't it? The older I get, the faster time seems to go. Earlier in the Psalms, the psalmist said in Psalm 39 and in verse 4, "Lord, make me know my end." Note that. "Make me know my end, and what is the measure of my days, that I may know how frail I am." Think about that. How frail we are. You might say we're nothing compared to the eternal nature of God. Our frail nature. "Indeed, you have made my days as handbreadths, and my age is as nothing before you." Certainly, every man at his best state is but vapor. Psalm 89 and in verse 47, "Remember how short my time is. For what futility have you created all the children of men?" Remember how short my time is. Psalm 103 and in verse 14, "For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust." God knows our frame. He knows our body. He created it from dust. But remember, we are dust. And God remembers we're dust. He created us from dust, and to dust we shall return. "As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes." When a flower in the field outside grows up and flourishes, dies down, rots, decays, and turns back to the earth from which it came. Like our bodies. The psalmist said in Psalm 119 and 84, "How many are the days of your servant? When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me?" How many are the days of your servant? They are few. They are brief. They are quickly passing by. Let's make a sober calculation of the time that we have. Many of you here are older than I am. Few of you here are younger than I am. We all need to consider how brief time is. How much time we actually have left upon this earth. And how quickly the time that we have left is going to speed by. The time of us departing this life will come sooner than you realize. So let's make a simple and sensible application. So Lord, teach us to number our days. Why? That, so that, or in order that, here's the purpose, we may gain a heart of wisdom. We may give serious consideration to the time that we have. We might be wise in regard to the use of the time that we have. We might seek out opportunities, perhaps that we haven't sought out before, because we're seriously considering the time that we have left. Moses is asking for God to teach him that he might be wise, or to act wisely, or become wise in regard to the use of time. In the book of Proverbs, Solomon often talked about applying one's heart to wisdom. For example, in Proverbs 2 and in verse 2, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment, if you lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her that is wisdom as silver and search for her that is wisdom as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. When we ask the Lord to instruct us and teach us to number our days, it is so that in order that we might become wise in regard to the use of our time. God's Word is filled with wisdom. And so we ought to be wise in regard to the use of our time. In Colossians 4 and in verse 5, Paul says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Doing what? Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time, in some versions, it says making every opportunity or taking every opportunity or making the best use of your time. So walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Those who are outside are those who are outside the body of Christ. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. Use every opportunity available to you to teach those who are outside of Christ. If you're outside a relationship with Christ, if you're outside the body of Christ, never been baptized into Christ for remission of your sins, consider the time that you have left them on this earth. It's quickly and speedily headed to an end. In Ephesians 5 and in verse 15, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See that you walk, behave, conduct yourself circumspectly. Carefully or accurately is the idea in the word circumspectly. But it carries the ideal of making, having discernment and judgment, especially in regard to how you behave and conduct yourself. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time. Considering the time that you have. Making the best use of the time that you have. And taking the opportunities that God has afforded you and given you in this life to better yourself and to better others through the preaching and teaching of the Word of God. In Romans 13 and verse 11, Paul gives this warning by saying, knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. They were in spiritual slumber. For he says, for now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The idea, that is, we believe, but time has sped along, and now our salvation, the end of our life, is coming quicker than we recognize and realize, and we're asleep spiritually. We best wake up and let the Lord instruct us and teach us regarding to how important our time is that we have left upon this earth. John 9 and in verse 4, Jesus said, I must work the works of Him who sent me. While it is day, the night is coming which no one can work. Yes, there's a time coming in your life when you'll not be able to work any longer. No labor, no toil, no difficulties and no hardships of life. The time came to Christ when He was put to death. The time will come in your death when there will be no work. A wise man said in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. So now is the time for us to redeem the time. Make every use of the opportunities that God has given us. Make the very best use of the time that we have left in this life before it is too late. The wise man said in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, while you're young, before the difficult days come. While you're young, ask those who are much, much older than you are. Are the days ahead difficult? Yes, they are. They get difficult, and more so all the time. And the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. I hope that time never comes for you when you say there is no pleasure for you in this life. But that's the way life is. Filled with difficulty and hardship, trial and tribulation, sorrow and tears. But in your lifetime, because you've used God's time wisely, you will reap glory and not tears, won't you? That's what our prayer ought to be. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, why not become one? Give serious consideration to the time that you have left. Why keep putting off obeying the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ? Believe that He is the Christ, the Son of God. Repent of your sins. Confess Him before this audience. Submit to water baptism for the remission of your sins. Become a Christian today. Because you're not promised another breath beyond the one you're taking right now. If you're a child of God and you have sin in your life, don't wait to put it off. Put it off now. Pray to God that He'll forgive you of it. Turn from it in repentance. We'll pray with you and for you as we stand and sing the song that has been selected.